What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, socially distancing away from the Fantasy Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano. Happy draft week. We're just a couple days away from finally kicking this thing off. I'm ready.
We're going to have actual sports that didn't happen 14 years ago on television, which is going to be great. I feel like this is going to be the most watched draft in any professional sport ever. Not only because there are no sports, but this is going to be a very bizarre draft in terms of everyone's at home, sort of chilling out, hanging at home, doing their thing, trying to figure out how to work a computer, hoping that chaos doesn't ensue. So it's going to be huge.
No doubt. Yeah, we all love a good train wreck. So I think everybody, there's going to be a lot of people tuning in just for that factor, just anticipating something going wrong. Because, I mean, you know, this is what we live for nowadays.
It's reality TV, right? I mean, it's like 90 Day Fiancé. I don't like to admit it, but I watch the damn show. And I've been watching it for a long time. And it's because I want to watch the train wrecks. Like this season, it's like that guy, David. That goes to the Ukraine and calls a woman that he's never met his girlfriend for 7 years. And he doesn't even have her phone number, by the way. That's the definition of a train wreck. And hopefully the NFL draft does not become the 90 Day Fiancé version of David, I guess.
No, but man, it would create a whole lot of interesting things on Twitter if it did.
Yeah. Oh, so. Twitter's going to be unreal. It'll be entertainment. Get your popcorn ready.
Kids say it's going to be lit.
Yeah.
Speaking of the draft, we will finish out our previews with the wide receivers. They're sort of the headliners in this group offensively. So we'll kind of break them down into tiers because there's quite a few of them to talk about. So we'll try to get through as many as possible. Got some news headlines as well. But before we do that, talk to our faithful producer, Senior Edward L. Murphy, Esquire. Murph, what's new?
I think I finally come peace with who I want the Giants to take on Thursday, and they have to go defense. They have to take Isaiah Simmons. That is my pick. I'll put on the record right now, Tuesday morning. Giants must take Isaiah Simmons.
No Tristan Wirfs, huh?
My mental exercise that I've done is this. If the Giants O-line stays the way it is, they could win ball games. If the Giants defense stays the way it was from like last year, that's not a winning defense. So I think that is my factor of why I think they have to go defense there. Also, the draft is very deep at offensive line. They could definitely pick one up later in the draft.
Okay. All right, cool. All right, so there we go. Let's dive into these wide receivers. But first, let's do some news.
Through the news.
Well, something that was buzzing around Twitter a day or two ago, the Jaguars have said they are holding talks to try and move Leonard Fournette. I mean, Fabs, Fournette was very productive last year, had his best year as a receiver for the Jacksonville offense, but it appears that they have sort of worn tired of just his off-field presence, being late to meetings and just not putting in the work that they expect him to put in. So it looks like they're going to try and trade him. My first question is who's going to be a taker at this point for a guy who still has some ability, but comes with a pretty high price tag as well.
Right. I mean, and that's the question, who's going to take him, especially, you know, with the sort of, you know, off field stuff. There's reports out there that the Buccaneers aren't going to be a taker for them. You know, I've heard the Chiefs thrown out there. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing, Marcus, why would you trade for Fournette when the running back class is so deep? In this class. So, I mean, it's kind of the same thing as like, who's going to sign Devontae Freeman? Who's going to sign Carlos Hyde? They're all going to wait until we see what happens in this draft. Jaguars as a team, they're kind of a soap opera right now because you've got Fournette with his situation. You got Yannick Ngakoue, the whole arguing
shots.
I mean, like, you know, the Jaguars are sort of kind of a joke at this point right now because they've got so much drama going on, and hell, there's no OTAs. There's nothing but just drama all over the place. I mean, Fournette was a nice back. He wasn't efficient as a receiver. He only had 3 touchdowns. He's still young. You always like to think, you know, where did he come from? So, you know, he's a guy who came out of LSU. Maybe the Saints would be interested. Probably not. But I think the Jaguars will probably draft a compliment to Fournette if they can't trade him. So inevitably his value could sort of decline compared to last season. And the only reason he was valuable last year, let's be honest, is that he caught 70 balls, over 70 balls. That was it. He didn't score. Mm-hmm.
No, you're right. I mean, it is it's really interesting because, look, obviously we've talked about the value of running backs and how teams view them now. And obviously Leonard Fournette doesn't have nearly the same value he did when he came out of LSU and was in the draft. And so I'm you know, he's sort of, the Jaguars are in a sort of a tough spot because teams know they want to move him. But you're right. Nobody's going to take on that contract. Nobody's going to take on the potential headache of what he is off the field. So this is going to be an interesting standoff. And if the Jaguars do move him, it's going to be for literally pennies on the dollar. And you're right. His fantasy value is going to take a hit because he, you know, I have a hard time thinking he's going to walk into a job where he's going to be the number one guy and get the same kind of workload. So
yeah, man, it's more of the same for running backs. Don't, you know, mamas, don't let your sons grow up to be running backs because they're going to be underappreciated and undervalued if they get to the NFL.
Pretty much. Of course, this is draft season, as we've talked about, and there's always draft buzz going on. Look, I'm filing this one under smokescreen, but you know, I think it's interesting. The Giants reportedly doing their homework on Justin Herbert. Now, let's all remember, obviously, that the Giants used the number 6 pick last season on Daniel Jones with the idea of making him the quarterback of the future if he took over for Eli Manning. So I'm not really buying this. I think this is a way to try and maybe get some teams to consider trading up with the Giants. I can't imagine a world where they go out and they draft another quarterback 1 year after getting Jones, right?
Hell no. And if they did, Eddie's head would explode. We can't have that happen. No, they're not going to listen. Yeah. Smokescreen. Absolutely. They're going to go defense or they're going to go and improve that offensive line. One of the two. Daniel Jones, I like him. I've been talking about him all offseason as this year's big sleeper quarterback. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be tremendous. He won't be Lamar Jackson, but he'll be pretty damn good based on the value and the price tag that you're gonna have to pay for him either at auction or in the draft. Honestly, like in every year this happens, there's always these quarterbacks that everyone gets all excited about. And I posted a tweet earlier in the week. First round quarterbacks typically stink. Okay, like you have your exceptions. You have mm-hmm. your cams, and you know you have your guys who have come out. You know, RG3 had one good season. That was about it. You have guys who have come out, Andrew Luck, etc. The majority of these guys, if you look back to like 2010 and even further than that, but I'll only go back to 2010, typically they bust. Justin Herbert, I get it. Big dude, okay? A lot of potential. Name mm-hmm. me the last Oregon quarterback who is any good in the NFL. His name is Dan Fouts.
Yeah, probably.
He played in the 70s. I mean, like for the Ducks. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I don't believe this is going to happen. There's also some rumors around that the Giants might be looking to deal Evan Ingram possibly to the 49ers, and that would be an interesting pairing. George Kittle and Evan Ingram on the field together there in San Francisco, that would be kind of mind-blowing. But I think mostly this is just the Giants trying to dangle something out there, seeing if maybe a team will panic and look to make a deal to try to move up and get either Herbert or Tua, whichever one they feel like is the best potential guy. Mm-hmm. In the division, your beloved Cowboys, Fabs, reportedly are looking to deal for a slot receiver. The names that were floated out there were Christian Kirk and Marquise Goodwin. I don't know. There's a lot of smoke here. I don't know how much fire, other than it just seems to me to be saying, hey, the Cowboys want to add a good player, which, you know, I think that applies to 32 teams in the league. But, I mean, if they do that, does this mean they're all in on Dak if they're really trying to do this thing?
They have to be all in on Dak. Where else are they going to go? I mean, and the Cowboys need a wide receiver. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. I've seen mock drafts where they've gotten Lamb and Judy, which I don't know how the hell that's going to happen. Not at where they're picking. Right. But remember, Randall Cobb is now in Houston. The Cowboys ran around 67% of their plays last year out of 11 personnel. So, and that was, you know, close to the top of the league. They need a wide receiver. They're going to draft a wide receiver or they're going to trade for one. And I would rather it be Christian Kirk. His price will be higher than Marquise Goodwin, of course. But that would make something else very interesting, Marcus. If the Cowboys were able to acquire Christian Kirk, that would mean that the Cardinals would be in the market for a wide receiver and a certain CeeDee Lamb who played where in college?
At Oklahoma with Kyler Murray.
Also played college ball at Oklahoma?
Yep.
That might be fun. And then they have Andy Isabella who could sort of move up the depth chart. Ooh, that could be fun. But
the reports
as a Cowboys fan, we need a slot receiver. So I mean,
yeah. The reports have been that Kyler Murray has been pushing hard for the Cardinals to draft CD Lamb. So you know, we'll see if this happens. I'm sort of pushing this out here as more of a smokescreen to the Cowboys, just kind of trying to see what sort of interest they can drum up. If there's more definitive things that will come out, that I think will be kind of interesting. Lions general manager Bob Quinn says Matthew Stafford is, quote, good to go for 2020, missed nearly all of last season with injuries. I mean, look, for years, Stafford has been, like I always call it, the patron saint of the church of wait on a quarterback. And last year, when he was healthy, he played really, really well at the start of the season. Then he got hurt, and they went through David Blau and a number of other quarterbacks, what have you. I mean, if he's back, I feel like he slots right back into being that guy you're probably drafting in like round, you know, 10, 11, and, you know, plugging him in when the matchup works, right?
Yeah, he was underrated. He was one of only a few quarterbacks who averaged over 20 points per game last season. Mm-hmm. And I believe he got 8 starts, something like that. He was very effective. You know, he had 19 touchdowns and 5 picks. He's got 2 really good wide receivers. He's got an up-and-coming tight end in TJ Hockenson. I kind of feel like the Lions are going to draft a pass-catching running back, too, to complement Kerryon Johnson, because he's proven he can't be the guy from a durability standpoint. So he's going to have weapons, and Stafford's not going to be a top 10 quarterback in drafts. He's going to end up being somewhere 11, 12, 13, sort of in a lot of rankings, the position. Total value, and a player who had seen his value decrease going into last season, because in 2018, his numbers were kind of but that was really the outlier. He's almost always been a top 10 fantasy quarterback. So, and any rumors that the Lions are going to draft a QB, I mean, I don't know why they would do that, but
I think they might, but I don't think it's going to be early. I mean, I think they may go, you know, like day three, kind of get a guy, because I mean, Stafford is, you know, he's getting up there. I mean, I wouldn't say he's old, but he's getting older. So I do think they're going to at least start to kick the tires on a quarterback, but I don't think they're drafting their quarterback of the future this year. I don't see that happening. The Bears cut tight end Trey Burton after 2 seasons, could never really stay healthy, was never really productive. So that means they're down to what, like 9 tight ends now there in Chicago? No,
right. Exactly. Exactly. How excited are you to draft Jimmy Graham now? No, not at all.
I mean, so I went from like not at all excited to slightly less not at all excited. Like,
yeah,
I don't,
exactly. Yeah. And it sucks too, because Trey, actually, remember when he signed with the Bears, everyone was like, oh, that offense, Travis Kelce put up some numbers. I'm starting to sound like Damashek now all of a sudden. What the hell was that? but Burton did not live up to expectations. He'll land someplace, but
yeah,
unfortunately, he was more of a disappointment than anything else in his short time in Chicago.
Yeah, yeah, it just never quite worked out. So best of luck to him. We'll see where he lands. Who knows? And that, I guess, only very slightly clears up the muddled tight end picture there in Chicago. So there you go. That is pretty much everything you need to know.
Well, that was the news.
All right. Time to talk some wide receivers. So I sort of broke these down into groups. I've got our top tier guys, our next level guys, some guys I consider to be wild cards, and then the guys who are like the late risers, who in the last couple of weeks have started to get a lot more buzz. So let's start at the top. Obviously, 3 names that everybody's talking about at the top of the draft for wide receivers: CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs. I feel like, you know, for most people, Lamb and Jeudy are kind of 1 and 2, with Ruggs sort of like just behind. Do you have a particular order that you expect these guys to go off the board?
So I feel like Lamb's going to go off first. He'll be the first wide receiver drafted. And he certainly, I mean, if the Cardinals deal Kirk and suddenly they're in the market, and we know Kyler is really pressing to get CeeDee Lamb, he could go 8th overall, as high as 8th. I don't know that he'll fall past the Jets and the Raiders at 11 and 12. And certainly the 49ers would never pass on him at 13. But to me, he is the best chance for a team to grab a true number one. I mean, you look at his numbers in college, averaged over 21 yards per catch, had 14 touchdowns in his final season with the Sooners. He played with Baker Mayfield. He played with Murray, as we've mentioned. You know, he's a big play, deep threat. He could take the top off of defense. I've seen tape on him that game against UCLA where he made that ridiculous catch that like is as good or better than anything that we've ever seen from Odell Beckham Jr.
Right.
He is somebody's future number one wide receiver. And I mean, from a fantasy perspective, I'd love to see him go to Arizona and Kirk go to Dallas selfishly. But if he goes to the Jets, he's going to be their number one. If he goes to the Raiders, he's going to be their number one. I wouldn't think that he'd be there for the 49ers at 13, though.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, I've seen some mocks where that happens, where the Jets go maybe offensive line or something like that at 11. You know, I think, look, we kind of put a list of best landing spots, right? And like Jets, Raiders, Niners picking at 11, 12, 13, all in the market for any one of these three guys. Ruggs, the Broncos, I've seen the Eagles. You mentioned that on our list here, that the Eagles might move up to get Henry Ruggs. I feel like Ruggs is sort of this group, kind of the, I don't want to say wild card, but he's the guy because he's got blazing speed is the one thing that everybody mentions about him. But a guy who I think has a high ceiling, maybe even a, I won't say a higher ceiling than the other two, but a guy who I think, you know, has the potential, I think, to really be a breakout player early on, especially in the right system. He seems to have been plugged into the Broncos for a really long time, but there are other teams that seem to be kind of making a move toward Henry Ruggs. So he's the guy that I think, you know, while everybody obviously is looking at Lamb and Judy, Ruggs, I think, is a sneaky guy who, at least in redraft leagues, could end up making an impact. I mean, I think that all, I think all three of these guys are impact players in redraft leagues. I think Ruggs is maybe the guy that, you know, everybody looks at third, but ends up being just as good, if not better, potentially in his first year than those other two guys.
Yeah, and let's hope that this trend of first round wide receivers sucking ends with this
true,
very impressive class. Let's hope.
That is very true. That is a thing that, you know, I feel like we're not talking a lot about, maybe because we don't want to speak it into existence.
I shouldn't have said anything.
Yeah, but the number of first round wide receivers has not been great. The hit rate has not been good on them lately.
No.
Who do you think has the most upside this year of these three guys?
So if I'm talking from a fantasy perspective, I'm going CeeDee Lamb because I think he has the potential to be a number one. Like Jerry Jeudy, I don't know that he's a number one. I think he's a 1A, a guy who played a lot out of slot in his time in the final season there with the Crimson Tide. I mean, he's effective after the catch. He's a threat to score anytime he touches the football. But I don't see – like people are going to compare him to Calvin Ridley before they compare him to like Julio Jones, just to use Atlanta's wide receivers as an example. So I feel like he is a 1A in an offense where I feel like CeeDee Lamb could be – the one, and, you know, lead a team in targets for a long time into the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. I think for Jeudy, I won't say it depends on where he lands. I think he has the talent to be successful pretty much most anywhere. But I do think, you know, if he is forced into a situation where he has to be the guy right away, maybe that learning curve gets a little bit steeper for him. And I know we keep putting the Jets here. Just for the good of everybody involved, I don't want to see really good players go to the Jets anymore. Like, I just don't want them.
Wait. To the Jets or to Adam Gase? Which one?
To Adam Gase. Yeah, I guess it's to Adam Gase. You know, if there were somebody else there that were running the offense, I would feel differently about it. I know we keep mocking, and it's very possible, right? Lamb, Jeudy, one of these guys could end up going to the Jets. Mm-hmm. That would make me sad.
I was on with Fox Sports Radio last night with my pal Jason Smith, who's a huge Jets fan. Mm-hmm. And what I do is I go on that show and I just squeeze his shoes. I break his stones and about the Jets and the Mets. But their first round picks, the Jets, oh my God. I mean, you want to talk about awful. We don't know about Darnold yet, but awful. And I think the two wide receivers they drafted in the first round that were halfway decent. Well, Keyshawn was one, right. But he wasn't a superstar by any stretch of the imagination. He was a good receiver. And like Santana Moss, I think that was it. Like that.
Yeah.
So the trend has not been good for the Jets in terms of wide receivers or any position in the first round. And then when you throw, you know, Adam Gase, you know, with his eyeballs looking at tacos all day long. I mean, if the Jets draft a wide receiver, does that hurt his dynasty league value? Like assuming that Gase is there for a little bit. Oh, boy.
Any one of these guys would you consider to be top 50 picks in redraft leagues, or are they all outside the top 50?
Yeah, no, outside. All the running backs and we're, you know, we've talked about them, but the running backs are certainly going to be in the mix depending on where they go, like Jonathan Taylor and DeAndre Swift. But rookie wide receivers, I mean, even CeeDee Lamb, like, I mean, if he goes to the Jets, he'll probably be the first receiver off the board from that core of wideouts, right? For Gangrene. Oh, yeah. But I mean, he ain't going to be a top 50 pick.
I
wouldn't see that.
All right. Moving on to the next level of guys. So I put in this next level, Justin Jefferson, Michael Pittman, T. Higgins, all sort of like bigger wide receivers too. Mm-hmm. Of those three, is Jefferson the one who's the most pro ready? Is that the rate to step on right now and be a productive guy, you think?
Yeah, I mean, really good hands. Catch radius is really good. He makes tough catches. He's got really good body control. He's got good acceleration. He's a tough blocker too. Like, when I've watched him on tape, and he's not afraid to get in there and block. I don't think he's as good as Odell Beckham Jr., but I mean, I've seen people compare him to Odell Beckham Jr. and somewhat. I mean, he's come out and had some huge games for LSU. Of course, I mean, when your quarterback throws for 60 touchdowns, I guess, as you know, one of your top options he's going to have. So Jefferson's not going to end up being like a top 15 pick. I think he's a guy who falls to, like, say, the Vikings late in the draft, late in the first round of the draft, or potentially Philadelphia, maybe the Saints, because, I mean, I know they signed Emmanuel Sanders, but he's 33. So there's some teams in the second half of that first round that – you're going to see, I think you're going to see a run in the top, you know, 12. You're probably going to see a run starting potentially with the Cardinals, or then it'll go to the Jets, Raiders, Niners. And then in the second half of the first round, you're going to see another little bit of a run on wide receivers. And it's probably going to start with Justin Jefferson.
So I'm going to go with Michael Pittman here, right? I just want to talk.
Oh,
Michael
here's Pittman. Here he goes. Eddie Homer.
Because you know why I want to talk about Michael Pittman. Look, I think he's obviously a very good wide receiver, and this is just me speaking, obviously trying to be objective here too. My big argument for him is that he was a guy who last year had to play with three different quarterbacks. SC went through a number of quarterbacks because of injury. JT Daniel gets hurt in the first game. Keaton Slovis, aka the Kurt Warner protege, jumps in there and actually plays really well, all things considered. Being a true freshman to have to jump in at last minute and play well, I think he did well. Then he got hurt a couple of times, so Matt Fink has to come in. And through it all, Pittman remained sort of professional and was out there and ready to play. A guy who runs solid routes. I think he's another guy who's not necessarily spectacular in any one area, but I think he's very fundamental in a lot of areas. And I think this counts for something. Having a father who played professional football and can kind of show you the ropes of what it takes to succeed on the next level, I think is going to kind of play into it. I've seen him mock to Tampa. I think it's a hard place to necessarily come in and be an immediate impact player. But I think in terms of learning the game and learning to be a pro, I mean, being around Tom Brady, being around two guys like Godwin and Mike Evans who have done it for a couple of years now, I think it's a good spot for him to land. I don't know. Is there somewhere better? Is there something else you see for Michael Pittman that could be productive for him this year?
I mean, I think that too. I think he projects to maybe kind of like a big physical slot receiver. He does have to work on his route running, but that can be fixed at the next level. And he doesn't have breakaway speed, but he's athletic. He's got really good hands. He needs an opportunity, and especially in that Buccaneers offense. Listen, I mean, they're going to throw the ball a ton, and guess who's going to be the quarterback? Tom Brady, the GOAT. So we're not talking about Tom Brady 10 years ago, but he's still Tom Brady. And assuming that Tampa Bay, and I would think Tampa Bay would probably go with offensive line in the first round, right? If Pittman projects to be a day two player, which he does second or third round, that could be possible. Now, I also think the Buccaneers need to draft a running back. And I think running back is a bigger need than wide receiver. Although for you, you may flip. Niners, you got if he goes to the Bucs, you got your guy Pittman there, you got your guy Ronald Jones there. I mean, Trojans fans would be loving that Buccaneers offense. But yeah, he's certainly got some upside. He's got some work to do in certain aspects, but the Buccaneers would be a good fit because, again, you know, Perriman's no longer in the mix.
Right. Yeah. I think, you know, he's a guy, again, we talk about some of these other top tier guys and where they have to go for their best fit. I think Pittman's a guy who kind of needs he's never going to be a guy who's going to be a number one. He's going to need some guys around him.
Right.
In order to be successful. T. Higgins, you know, at the start of the draft season, he was like a name that was hot. Then he hit a lull where he was kind of started to fall down draft boards. Now I think he's kind of coming back up draft boards. You kind of have him going either the Eagles or Vikings, who I think are two teams that that could use wide receivers. Honestly, Fabs, I feel like whoever goes to the Eagles may be the most fantasy, not most fantasy relevant, but will have a lot of relevance right away just because the Eagles are so hurting for wide receivers right now.
Yeah, and you know, Alshon Jeffrey, you know, what's the situation with him?
Who knows, right? Right,
exactly, DeSean Jackson. But Higgins, number one, he's coming from wide receiver U, Clemson. Mm-hmm. And he is a big guy. He's like a true X receiver. You know, he's not like super, super fast, but, you know, he's kind of sneaky fast. He's long strider, a good route runner. I think the one thing that sort of stood out to me, and he's very athletic, a guy who could potentially be very good at contested catches, was in mm-hmm. college. But when they played against when he played against Jeff Okuda, he didn't do all that much. And Okuda's considered the top corner in the draft. So, you know, he's still got some work to do. He's not a physical guy, but Clemson pedigree and potentially someone who could turn into, you know, a number one at the next level.
Any of these guys worth, and then obviously considering if they land in the right spot, any of these guys worth some redraft value right now? Or are these mostly dynasty?
No, guys? Yeah. Jefferson, I think Jefferson, Higgins, Pittman, I don't know. It depends on where he lands, honestly. I mean,
right.
So Pittman, maybe not, but it depends on landing spot. You know, we're going to talk about Laviska Shenault. He's another player who people are talking about as potentially maybe getting a late first round draft grade. Maybe the Packers go after him.
Right.
That could potentially happen. So some of these guys are going to get drafted in traditional fantasy based on just their skill set alone and the upside that they bring. They'll be late round picks. Other guys, they need to land in the right spot where there's a vast number of opportunities for them to potentially thrive as rookies.
All right, so you mentioned Laviska Shenault. I mean, I've got him in that next group. He and Bryan Edwards in sort of what I'm calling the wild cards, because they're guys who could do some things, maybe aren't getting as much buzz as some of the other guys, but I think are talented. Shenault's one because, you know, like I said, I watch a lot of Pac-12 football, no surprise. I got to see as he was playing at Colorado, and really in Boulder was literally a do-it-all guy, right? He was a wide receiver that would line up in different places. And occasionally, they put him in the backfield and let him run the football. He might not be there for the Vikings, or they just may not have an interest, but I feel like he could fit there, especially with them losing Stephon Diggs and them not apparently trading for Odell Beckham Jr. I don't know if they're creative enough to use him in that way, especially if they want to run the football, but I like him to the Vikings. You've got him staying potentially in the division, going to the Packers as one of your best fits for him.
Yeah. Packers need to get a wide receiver. Like, I know they signed Devin Funchess, but it's Devin Funchess. So it would be nice for him to be able to learn from Davante Adams. As you mentioned, he's a big physical player. He's got a really strong build. He lined up in the backfield for Colorado last season. You mentioned that they used him on jet sweeps. He's athletic. Mm-hmm. He's got good hands. I think where he needs to work on his game is as a route runner. He's not really fast. He's not a vertical threat, clearly, but, there's upside there. And then you also have to worry about durability too, as well with Shenault. So, because when you're a physical receiver like that, I mean, we've seen guys like that, get nicked up. So, durability has gotta be better for him to thrive at the next level.
Yeah, Bryan Edwards, a guy who played 4 years at South Carolina.
Well, and, you started, you know, when he was 17 years old. What were you doing when you were 17 years old? You were trying to buy beer. That's what you were trying to do. I was trying to buy beer. Although, look at how I look right now at 46 years old. You think I was going to get beer at 17? Nah, hell no.
I knew I wasn't. I knew that I wasn't going to. I was still getting started.
At 17 years old, this guy actually had a pretty good season, man.
Yeah. Right? So he did. No, absolutely he did. So here's the thing. So this is going to be an interesting kind of case study here, right? Because, and I wish I had, you know, I tried to look it up and I couldn't find it yesterday. Somebody actually kind of was going through the recent history of receivers who stayed 4 years in college and then went to the NFL. And it wasn't great. But Edwards is a guy who was very productive during his time at South Carolina. So I'm interested to kind of watch this case study of, you know, whether that wins out or if the gravitational pull of other guys like him sort of wins out. I know every guy is sort of different, But it's interesting to watch because he's a guy who, again, sort of like Chenault, can do a lot of different things, maybe isn't great at any one thing, maybe needs some work on some different things, but a guy who, in the right situation, can be a nice secondary receiver. And you're talking about maybe this is definitely a late round, end of draft sort of redraft pick, but maybe with some long-term dynasty upside here.
Yeah, I mean, he probably would have had 1,000 yards this past season, but he got hurt. He injured his knee, and then he busted his foot before the combine. So that's, you know, that sort of went against him as well. And you can't have a pro day because, hello, coronavirus.
Can't have pro days, but right.
People will say the QB play was crap at South Carolina. So that sort of brought him down. But certainly has potential. As you mentioned, he's not going to be a day one or day two guy, but somebody to keep your eye on.
Yeah, no doubt. So that brings us to what I'm calling the late risers, the guys who have gotten a lot of buzz recently. Brandon Ayuk at Arizona State, Jalen Reagor from TCU, Denzel Mims from Baylor. Ayuk, you've got Eagles, Packers, Vikings, Ravens.
It's a lot of the same teams, man. You know, right.
Denzel Mims is maybe the most interesting of this name because he seems to be the guy that everybody has been talking about for the last week or so. I've even seen some situations where people talk about him, maybe not creeping into the first round, but becoming an early second round guy.
I've seen him late first round, Marcus. I've seen that. So it's possible. I mean, he was really good at the combine. I know scouts that I talked to that said that, you know, he may have improved his stock more than any other wide receiver at the combine. He tied for the third fastest 40 time. He was eighth or better in four other drills. He was no worse than 14th in the other three. There's teams out there that could absolutely use this kid. And, you know, I mentioned, you know, the Eagles could potentially go after him, the Packers, the Jets, Broncos, all the teams that are looking for that potential playmaker. Now, Mims is not going to end up being a guy who gets taken in the top 15. But as I mentioned, late first round, potentially second round at worst would be where he goes. A lot of people have been really high on him. I'm like, I'm not saying that he's been like, remember last year when fantasy Twitter was all over Hakeem Butler and everyone loved Hakeem Butler. Oh, Hakeem Butler's going to go and be a sleeper. And
never got on the field.
That was, we didn't hear anything from him because he went to Arizona and they had 100 receivers there. I think this guy's, he might be this year's Hakeem Butler in terms of the hype, in terms of some wide receiver whose value is increasing the most. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he doesn't end up having a rookie season like Hakeem Butler did. So,
yeah. Brandon Ayuk was another one who was like getting a whole lot of buzz. And then he had surgery, core muscle surgery, like a week or two ago. I would think that knocks him down draft boards just a little bit, but he was another guy who I think people look at as a project with the potential to be something even better. You know, obviously we said some of the same things last year about N'Keal Harry, also from Arizona State, and that's still very much a work in progress. So I hate to lump two guys in together, but I feel like Ayuk is kind of, in a lot of ways, sort of that guy, a guy with a lot of potential, but still needs some work in order to kind of be consistently productive at the NFL level.
Yeah. And people have to keep in mind, I mean, if you've been playing fantasy football for any extended period of time, you know, like for every AJ Brown, you know, there's 10 Laquan Treadwells. Like, I mean, you know, that's football, especially lately with these first round wide receivers that we mentioned on earlier on the show. So listen, you know, Ayuk is a guy who's got potential. He could be explosive as a return man as well. So he could be utilized on special teams and he will be at the next level. He could end up going late, depends on where he goes, but very likely in redrafts, late round or not at all. A lot of these players that we're talking about are going to be more dynasty centric.
Yeah. Jalen Reagor, just to talk about him briefly too, another guy who went to TCU, that offense at its best is incredibly explosive. I know that TCU receivers lately haven't necessarily had.
Oh,
the best
I got one.
Please go
ask
ahead.
Redskins fans. Ask Redskins fans about TCU receivers. Dope.
Yeah. You start to wonder because you have these guys coming out from this program where there's been at least some constant when it comes to coaching and scheme and what have you, whether or not it is that scheme that makes them successful on one level and they have problems translating it to the next level. But I know Rager's a guy that people love his athleticism. They love what he did production wise at TCU. I will say that I kind of approach it with a little bit of caution just because mm-hmm. of some of the guys that came before him. I don't know. That's just
yeah. me. And you got to give him – you got to – a lot of these guys too, and, you know, not everyone is like super plugged into college football if you're an NFL fan, but you also have to look at, you know, who's throwing these guys the football, right?
Right.
I mean, if you have a trash quarterback at the college level or you're not playing in an offense that is going to be conducive to you producing big numbers, then, you know – maybe you're going to slide out under the radar a little bit. So Rager's a guy that there's been some hype around him too as well. So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
About the Colts for him. The Colts could make some sense too. I feel like the Colts are going to be in the market for a wide receiver as well. Maybe not in the first round, but they're going to be in the market for a wide receiver.
Yeah, I think there's some sneaky teams in here. I think the Colts are one. I know you mentioned the Ravens because they could use some wide receiver help. You know, Marquise Brown, yeah, obviously still. He's a big play guy, but just wasn't consistent. They need some wide receivers to put around Lamar Jackson there. I mean, if the Eagles don't get a wide receiver, then that's just malpractice at this point.
I mean, you think they have to. You would think they have to.
Right. You know, I also think, you know, maybe the Jaguars go out and get a guy. Maybe not in the first couple of rounds. Oh,
yeah,
because
they just cut your guy, Marquise Lee. Yeah.
They just released Marquise Lee. You know, they need some wide receiver help as well. I mean, obviously DJ Chark played really well, but beyond that, there's just a lot of right. Just some inconsistency there. So I would think that the Jaguars should be in the market for a wide receiver somewhere in this draft as well. Mm-hmm. I feel like those are the big names. Any other ones that come to mind that are worth mentioning at this point?
I mean, we've covered a lot of the guys that are going to be sort of the big, like Michael Pittman, mm-hmm. Rager, Ayuk. I mean, I think we've covered most of them and, you know, you never know when a Terry McLaurin's going to, you know, sort of happen depending on where he lands. And, you know, there are guys out there that are good in college and go to the pros and become superstars. Right. Mm-hmm. So, but I feel like we've done a pretty good job and we've covered right around the top 10 wide receivers at this point and it's a great class. It really is. It's a great class. Yeah. It's going to be fun to watch where some of these guys go. And again, I think people need to recognize that when it comes to the wide receiver position, we're not so much looking at immediate gratification. We're more or less looking at what can these guys do maybe in the second half of the season? Maybe what can they do down the line, you know, long-term, you know, I guess we forget about Chase Claypool to a lot out of Notre Dame, whether or not he's going to play tight end or wide receiver at the next level. I mean, that sort of remains to be seen. That's another player to watch too. KJ Osborne out of Miami is another one too. But we've covered most of the big names.
Yeah, I think so. It's funny too, because, you know, it used to be once upon a time we talked about wide receivers in their third year making an impact. That sort of moved up to its second year. I think sometimes we forget that it does take some time to develop because we want everybody to come in and be amazing.
There's no coincidence that the position that typically will make the biggest fantasy impact from a rookie perspective is running back, because running back is I'm not going to, you know, poop on anybody who plays running back, 'cause I love running backs, but listen, it's a lot easier to play running back from college to the pros than it is to, you know, go and play wide receiver. And suddenly you're getting defended by, you know, these freaking guys who are superior in terms of their athletic ability to guys that people were lining up against in college. You know, and if you're a running back, get the football from the quarterback, you find the hole, you dart through it, you catch the ball out of the backfield, that kind of thing. And also volume is also going to be key too. And rookie running backs, if they're good enough, are going to see volume. And a lot of times, again, AJ Brown from last season sort of being kind of an outlier. The wide receiver position has a little bit of a bigger learning curve.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. A quick note here as we get out of here. Normally we are Tuesdays and Thursdays. You guys know that. But this week, because the draft starts on Thursday, we will do one on Friday. We'll kind of recap some of the guys that go off the board in the first round, talk about where they landed and what this means for their fantasy futures and for the futures of some of those guys around them on the teams that they were drafted to. So it'll be an extra day. Until you get your next one Friday instead of Thursday for that one.
Before we go though, Marcus.
Yes.
Eddie, I got to see the hair, man. Come on. Take that thing off. I got to see it. Let's see. Uh-oh. Come on. I want to see it.
All right. I'll do it.
Come on, caveman. I want to see it. Look at come on. Oh,
it's looking good.
Looking
pretty good.
Glory. Oh my goodness gracious. Boy, I remember having a hairline like that. Look at this.
Yeah, one. Like I said on a few pods ago, I just did not trust my girlfriend to do. Well, she.
But it looks good. She like you're in me. Head of hair.
No, I understand that, but it's. I don't know. It's at the point where it's like I never leave it this long. And the minute my girlfriend was like, I'm unsure about cutting it, I was like, all right, if you have any doubt, then I don't want you to touch scissors to my head. So I'm just like riding this thing out and using headbands and hats every day. Bro, so it's not been
clippers.
Fun.
I got clippers off of eBay. My girlfriend cut my hair. Okay, I know, like it's really short because that's what I said. Just cut it short. I don't care. But she also cut Matthew's hair. And it's short, man. It looks good. What are you going to do? You can't leave. You can't get a haircut until at least May 15th, right?
At least
May 15th. And I'm thinking the way that that the governor of California and the mayor Garcetti are going, hell, we're going to be into June. Right?
I may have a ponytail. Who knows?
Oh my God. That would be something to see.
All right. That is it. We are done. We appreciate you listening and downloading and watching. You know the drill. Tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, knowing the difference between antidote and anecdote can save lives. Take care of yourselves. We'll see you on Friday.